أما بعد، اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. This is a dua that I used to hear often said in the Qunut for the Taraweeh Salah when I was in Medina, and also there in Mecca they would quote this dua of Iman. And it came to my mind last night when we went to listen to the lecture at Burn Khafut. His dua says, O Allah, show me the truth as being the truth and bless me with following it. And then show me falsehood as being falsehood and bless me with following it. Bless me with staying away from it. Everybody, they have their own opinion of the lecture if they heard it. I think at this point I should mention, and then to look at the lecture, inshallah. After the lecture, I had a chance to speak with Abdullah Hakim Quick, and I told him that maybe he's unaware that he was invited to Masjid al-Dirar for a talk, and that he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said about Masjid al-Dirar, وَلَا تَقُمْ فِيهِ أَبَدًا, and don't ever go in there. I told him, this is just advice to you. You're new in the town, and maybe you don't know what's going on. You know, I heard a little something, but that's a hard position. I told him, Surah At-Tawbah, the whole surah is hard, from the beginning to the end. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah off saying he's free from the mushrik. And then all the way through, Surah At-Tawbah is just rough and hard, and as some people call it, fabaha, the explosion. As everybody who wasn't really on Islam, Tawbah came instead of the street. Surah At-Tawbah. At any rate, he said that, yeah, I heard a little something. I told him, yeah, you should have came and check it out. Because you're sitting here telling us that we need to be united, and now you're ganging up with the divided. And if you go over there, we're going to call you, like we call everybody else, dividing the Muslims. And if somebody asks me about Abdullah Hakim Quick, I'm going to tell him he's one of the dividers of the Muslims. Decides to go and divide the Muslims. He said, that's serious, brother. I said, yeah, serious. And that's why I came to advise you in private and not for the people to hear, so that you can see that this is a brother to brother. So, we gotta do what we gotta do, or we see it the way we see it, or whatever. Yeah, it says something like, well, you know, I'm gonna just go over there. I heard a little this, a little that, but I'm gonna go over there anyway. Something like that. At any rate, we went over there this morning and we found that it was over there with a handful of dividing the Muslims. And this talk to me in general last night was a talk to encourage the Muslims to divide themselves, as he was putting emphasis on the lineage and trying to say its importance in Islam. But the importance of the lineage in Islam is to keep family ties, which is compulsory on us, and to break family ties is a major sin. And the Prophet ﷺ had commanded us, اعرفوا أنسابكم صلوا أرحامكم أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. If you know your lineage, then you would keep family ties. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam commands us to keep family ties. How are you going to keep family ties with people you don't even know who they are? So when you know your father, his father, you know your mother, her father, then you know your mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters, your uncles and aunts on both sides, then you know their children and so on and so forth, then you're able to give them a call, visit them, send them a letter, and keep family ties like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us. And this is the purpose of knowing our lineage. But we heard last night, you know, this importance on lineage as if it makes you a better Muslim or, I don't know, you like a realer Muslim or something. Like he was giving the example if you're a hog or a Bailey, you know, Williams, that they were Muslim. He said they didn't find any reports that these names, that they had slave masters with these names. Therefore, the people were free from Islam or something. And, you know, really, I think our question makes it clear. What are you saying, that people are walking around Muslim but don't know it? Or, I mean, what do we get from knowing that someone's descendants were Muslim? And we have did this ayah in the khutbah the past 2 weeks. تِلْكَ أُمَّةٌ قَدَ خَلَتْ لَهُمْ مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبَتُمْ وَلَا تُسْأَلُونَ عَمَّا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. That's a nation or group of people who came before you. They have their deeds and what they earned, and you have your deeds and what you earned, and you won't be questioned about what they did. And really, if we mention that, we mention this stuff of lineage, and he's speaking to African Americans, and he's African American, and we're from America, and we understand we was in racism, we was in black nationalism yesterday, and all of that stuff. If someone mentions that, he has to make it clear, you know, so that people don't fall back into that stuff. You know, thinking that there's some type of importance because, yeah, don't worry. All right, just like the other people, they come from their country, they're Muslim. Well, you was Muslim too. And we accepted Islam. How is somebody going to say he was a Muslim too? Well, why? I don't know. Maybe some of us, you know, we've been in Islam so long we forgot Jahiliyyah. But some of us, we didn't forget it was not too long ago. You know, and nobody has, and we're going to say that was Islam. Why did we, what are we doing right now? And what we were doing in Jahiliyyah was Islam, we was Muslims and stuff. Well, what are we doing right now? And really, it's compulsory for the people of knowledge to explain to the people Islam. To explain to them Islam in general and in detail. And not to make statements that if the people take them and go with them, that it could be harmful. And you can see it, even though you didn't say anything wrong. But you can be misleading to the people in a way to encourage the people to do some wrong. Like I was feeling, you know, when he's talking about this lineage and African Americans and stuff like that, it's like Million Man March, I'm not going to say it's right or wrong. And the brothers were saying, yeah, you know, I ain't going for religious purposes. I guess they make that statement to say it's not a bid'ah since it's not a religion. I'm going for because I'm a black man and a black man needs to. And he said, I'm not going to say that that's right or wrong or whatever. When you say that the wrong isn't wrong, what are you saying is right? There's no such thing as a neutral position. And this was Surah At-Tawbah came. When Surah At-Tawbah came, wasn't no neutral position. Every sympathizer with Islam had to accept Islam or be an enemy of Islam. From now on, Allah gave them 4 months. And 4 months, all of the treaties are over with. Become a Muslim or you are enemy too. No more friends. Our friends are Allah, His Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the believers. We after Surah At-Tawbah. We're not living in Mecca before Surah At-Tawbah. We're living after Surah At-Tawbah. Every line has been drawn. No such thing as, I don't know if it's right or wrong. Stuff's right or wrong or something. Allah gave us a deen, gave us verdict for it and everything. When He's pushing us to this nationalism or whatever that He says we need to get rid of, and one side of His mouth and then the other side, you're encouraging us to this. And then how many times did He say, pointing out the Muslims' faults? Yeah, those Muslims overseas, I'm going to have to tell you the truth about them. Yeah, they do this, and they do that, and they do this, and they do that, and they do this. What does it do but create something in you? Wallahi, somebody, we better than the Muslims overseas? I mean, where is somebody going to point their finger at some other Muslim like, yeah, you see, that's their fault, as we innocent. Wallahi, we living in America, how could someone point their finger at somebody else, all this thing we doing? He talking to maybe the majority of the audience don't even make salat in the masjid.
They used to see the people, wallahi, they sitting up talking. Everyone knows they don't go to no masjid and make no salat but Jumu'ah. Sitting there talking about what they gotta do. You can't even do nothing for yourself. Saying what the next person has to do. So when he points the finger at somebody else, it makes you feel like you're straight. You're okay, even though you only make Salatul Jumu'ah. You're okay. It's those people over there that got their culture mixed into Islam. Their culture is Islam. They've been on Islam for 1,000 years. They don't have nothing but Islam. If anything is wrong, it's going to be from a misunderstanding of Islam. That Islam 1,000 years, what culture? How in the world Islam come for 1,000 years, you carry the culture with you? Wallahi, you think we're going to be Muslims for 1,000 years, some of our children still going to be rapping and stuff? SubhanAllah. You can imagine, okay, we just accepted Islam yesterday, our children are still living here, but can you imagine 1,000 years? And you imagine hundreds and hundreds of years, no kafir intervention whatsoever. None. When Arabia, Egypt, Sham, Syria, Jordan, Afghanistan, Iraq, all out in that area, Indian area, no kafir intervention. None. This stuff with this colonialism stuff, this is in the latter years. 300 years, 500 years, whatever. What was happening for the other 1,000 years? 800 years, 900 years. No mixture with Islam. So where the kafir culture, where the culture stuff come from? Maybe in the types of food that grow that they eat or something like that. But Islam has everything. It covers every aspect of our lives. What you carry in to bring into it. And who has their culture, if it's going to be a such thing, culture in Islam more than the people who saw Bradford Police and stuff like that? Yeah, he just looked like Americans. And the people are proud to say, I'm American Muslim. Because he looked just like American, and he got to tell you, I'm a Muslim. So then it just seemed like he was putting pride in you because you're African-American or something, because you had some descendants as Muslims, and then the brothers overseas, did he come to you with this Islam, and then they bring you all this extra garbage and baggage and stuff from their culture, and you don't got to take that. It was like he was putting us against them. When Allah made us one ummah, what us and them? Us and them is us Muslims, them kuffar. Wallahi, even if the Muslims had some baggage with them, they brought us Islam. And even if they didn't do it by going out to give you da'wah, and you had to question him about what he was on until you accepted Islam, and still, Islam came to you by means of that person. And he was just putting us, like he was putting us against them. And that's really the vision of the Muslims. And if we make a statement, we have to make it clear, we have to clarify afterwards. Yeah, I'm just giving you example that what they did in Egypt or Syria or whatever, that this point isn't from Islam because Allah says this or the Prophet ﷺ says that. And then it's not really the issue of Syrians, Muslims in Syria, and Muslims in America, is the issue of that thing right there, as opposed to the Quran and the Sunnah. And you make it clear, we still want Ummah. And everybody's going to make mistakes and so on and so forth, but you don't want to sow no seeds of dissension amongst the Muslims and have us against one another. But Wallahi, I felt it there, and I don't know if the other brothers, if they felt the same thing from that talk. Just put so much pride in you until you think you're right and everybody else is wrong. Then the other issue, on one side of the mouth, he's saying, yeah, we got to get the knowledge. And then on the other side, he describes all of the scholars, basically. You know, he didn't make any exceptions, that they just go and get those ayahs and hadith. But what you going to do with ayahs and hadith you don't know about right out there? Really, you know, it's a shame. And I was just giving the example that we believe in the Sirat over Jahannam. And that all of us have to cross over that Sirat. And that some, we're going to cross over it according to our deeds. If we among the righteous, like a lightning bolt. Maybe a little less than that, like a fast wind. Like a horse running. Like a person walking. Like a baby crawling. And some people are going to be stumbling. Because the sirat is as thin as a strand of hair. Or like sharp as a sword. And it has hooks on it that snatch you off according to your deeds. The more sins you have, the more chance, like the hook just looking for sin. If it ain't got no sin, then the hook is just going to don't move. If you got sin, then the hook is just grabbing. Underneath the surat is Jahannam. You can imagine you got a lot of sin, then the hooks are going to come up to snatch you in Jahannam. Tell me our belief in this, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger alayhi salatu wa salam informed us of Yawm al-Qiyamah. What does that have to do with out there? Wallahi, someone can come from anywhere in the world and never go outside. Let the helicopter come on the roof, come down the fire escape into the thing. Never see outside. And explain to you from the Quran and the Sunnah what's going to take place in the hereafter to soften your heart and to make you fear Allah. What do he need of the outside? Wallahi, come into the masjid and teach you how to make salah. But you can't make salah until you see that what a bar looks like or something. Until you hear people curse, you can't advise people not to use bad language. Wallahi, is there a language in the world that doesn't have curse words or something? And until we know the curse words of a people, we can't advise them not to curse or not to use bad language. And really, this is to put the people against the scholars. And we mentioned this before, they want to make the scholars parrots. They want to make the scholars, as they say, they don't know what's happening. God, how he says it. Yeah, they don't know how to apply it to the action. They say, yeah, they have Quran and Sunnah, but they can't apply it because they don't know what's out there. Tell me how in the world you won't know the book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger, alayhi salatu wasalam, and you can't apply it. I mean, what is the Quran if it ain't guidance? فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Worship the Lord of this house. Referring to the Kaaba. The Lord of it is Allah. Worship Him. Actually, somebody can't practice that? You hear it, well, I'm going to apply that. أخي والله we hear the Quran وَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةُ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةُ. Establish the salah, pay the zakat. But you gotta, wallahi, what we have to go in the streets to learn how to apply that? And really this is talking against the ulama. And maybe we didn't see it in the beginning, but I see it clearly that he's talking against the people of knowledge. And this is from the statements of the enemies of Islam, the cowards. They try to say, oh, those ulama, and they used to say it when we was in Arabia. And the cowards, criminals, enemies of Islam, they're everywhere. It's not like just a particular place opposed to others. And the ta'ifatul mansura, the people on the truth, they're everywhere too. And they used to say, oh, those ulama of Al-Hayb wa-Nufasa, yani the ulama of the menstrual cycles and the afterbirth bleeding. This is what they used to call the ulama. Because all they're going to do is give you a verdict, oh, if the sister, she, this is how she does that. The ulama, or sometimes they might say the ulama of wudu. The ulama, they're going to teach you how to make wudu. Muslims getting killed in Bosnia. People strung out on drugs, he come in the masjid and teach you how to make wudu. This is what they say. Wudu is going to get you to Jannah. What drugs going to get you? The ulama come to teach you wudu, it's going to get you to Jannah. But Allah, he come teach you about drugs, it's going to get you. It might get you, like I had one of my friends, you know, he was in the rehab. He was on the pipe. And he told me, you know, they were talking about what they used to do. And then he said one of the guys said he was shooting up with the needles, and he said he was high for 24 hours or 3 days. He was saying, man, we was paying all of that money for like minutes, and here you is for 3 days. I wasn't even high. I don't even know why I'm here. And he went back out and got back on it again. Wallahi, you can encourage, and really, we bring it as an example just to discourage us, not as an example to encourage. He talking about his story, making everybody else feel like they wasn't even high. Niggas, y'all wasn't high. I was high. That's why I'm here. And y'all ain't did nothing, watch. And then he describing his story to you until you feel like, I better get out of here and go get high because I wasn't even high. I don't even belong here. Yeah, wallahi. This is what they do. He's just making fun of the ulama by saying that they learn the Quran and the Sunnah and they don't know how to apply it. I want to ask them, is there one example that you can give of someone who knows the Quran and the Sunnah, he don't know how to apply it? Allah sent the Quran to the Prophet and the Prophet explained to humanity how to practice the Quran. That's the Sunnah. Explain to us how to live the Quran in our lives. The Prophet was the walking example of how to practice the Quran. The Sahaba, they saw that, they understood it, learned it, practiced it, and they passed it on, and it kept on going to us. What is he talking about? It's not practical. And is there a class that, alhamdulillah, we have a lot of classes. Is there a class that we can't practice? Seeking knowledge is worship. Seeking knowledge is worship. Worship of Allah. We've been commanded to seek knowledge. If you seek the knowledge of this deen, that's worship of Allah. You've been created to worship Allah. What is he talking about? And this is another statement of the cowards to put the people against the knowledge. They say, yeah, see, it was in a university classroom somewhere. We couldn't even see the teacher practicing it. See, before they used to live with the sheikh and he used to practice it. This is a coward statement. Alhamdulillah, we're in Medina, we had a chance to be like this with some ulama. No way in the world I could see him practice every ayah. But he can explain it in the tafsir. And not everything comes up in one day or one year. Not every circumstance comes up. But you still understand it and know it. You still understand it and know it. We were covering the issue of Masjid al-Dirar in Arabia. We ain't see it. We're in a Muslim country. Everything's okay. And this was like way back then. We didn't feel it had no application. Okay, Allah tests us right here with that thing come up. Bam. Man, I never thought that would come up. And it's there. And it's a lot of stuff. This whole deen is guidance for humanity. Though all of the ayahs don't come up just like them. Akhi, when you leave the salah, only read the ayahs that apply to our situation. Only read the ayahs that apply to our situation. Those ayahs, they don't apply to us, don't read it. Yeah, what are we going to do? This is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you learn it, you learn it. So that if something comes up, then you have the guidance in your life for that point. You tell me if a person is single, if the class is about how to raise children in Islam, he's not going to be there? Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the hafiz of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, he have no money, no nothing. And this is what the brother was trying to say. You poor, he come accept Islam, he ain't got no money. You try to sit him down and teach him something. He said, I need a job. I ain't got no money. How somebody gonna learn something he ain't got no money? Ain't got no job. Hungry, starving. How he gonna be learning a lot and all of this? Who was he describing if he wasn't describing Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala? Nothing. Used to be dizzy from hunger. Prophet ﷺ come out the house, see him laying down on the street in the alleyway, out. What do you call that? Delirious from hunger. رضي الله عن أبي هريرة. So they feed him some food. And during the life of the Prophet ﷺ, Abu Huraira was always among the poor and the starving. No place to live. He lived in the masjid. They used to have a special area extended to the masjid, a sufa, and the people used to live in that area. InshaAllah ta'ala, if Allah blesses us to get Masjid al-Sunnah, we'll have an area for the people to stay, the poor. So if they accept Islam, starve in the masjid and get the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in Jannah you won't starve. But you know, these are just some examples how he's trying to make the people go against the people of knowledge, and he's one of them himself, I think. Discouraging the people from going to the people of knowledge. And in both this lineage African American thing and against the foreigners, and then this thing against the people of knowledge and knowledge, he's in Brantford Place, and they have an imam from Egypt, and really it's like two slaps in the face. Bam, bam, and he's right there, like the third slap. Really, what are the people from Brantford Place, if they hear that, how are they going to take the imam when he gets on the minbar? First thing they're going to say, like, where he from? You don't know what's going on. He ain't lived just with us. What are you going to tell us? And I know it because I used to be at Brantford Place. I give the khutbah down there, and the people like, mashallah, one of the brothers, you know. If I learn something from Islam, alhamdulillah, the people from all over the world, you learn the same thing as one Quran, one Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Wallahi, I learned something different than somebody else learned. The Muslims from all over the world, all of the people of knowledge from all over the world, whatever their language is, and we had given this example before, Imam al-Bukhari, he got his own language. And him and the ulama from their area, they used to speak in their language. But he wrote Sahih al-Bukhari in the language of the Muslims. And he wrote his other stuff in the language of the Muslims. But they used to kick it in their language, too. Because they had their own language. They weren't Arabs. They learned Arabic. His mother said, I want my son to be a sheikh. Take him out of his country, go to where the Arabs are, where the ulama are, learn Arabic, learn Islam, and now he's Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah. Same thing with Imam Muslim. Same thing with Abu Dawood. Same thing with Tirmidhi. They are from that out towards the Russia area. They had nothing to do with that. They had their own language. They raised on their language. We have one of the biggest scholars in the world today, Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani. He's from Bosnia. He's from Bosnia. Living right now, considered one of the biggest scholars in the world. One of the, maybe if not, the most knowledgeable person of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam living. He was giving his story. When the Kafirs came into Bosnia early in this century, I don't know, it was 1920 or something around there, the communists came to take over that area. His father says, family, and his father was the imam of the masjid and everything. He said, get ready for hard times. Allah hasn't made it permissible for us to live with the kuffar. We're going down to the land of the Muslims. And they moved to Syria. He said he was 9 years old. He came to Syria. He didn't even know the Arabic alphabet. Now he's the biggest scholar in the dunya. And I met a brother in Medina who was visiting making Umrah or Hajj. I forgot what season it was. And he said that Albani used to give them lessons when they visit him in their language. He still knows it. And he's about 80 years old, I guess, or more than that. He was born in 1914. And he gives them lessons sometime in their language. But you can imagine what language he is, he's quoting when he quotes that ayah. And when he says that hadith, he's quoting Arabic. And we don't need to make like someone, he's from another country or this or that. He didn't live our experience. He can't benefit us in this deen. And this is what they were trying to, this is what he was trying to allude to. I mean, all of the ulama, they understand you have to know something of the people or something. American society is everywhere in the world. You can't be, you'll be amazed How many people know our society? America, we know America going around forcing English and fornication and drinking on the whole world. Wallahi, everywhere they go, they force the pig, the cross, fornication, lewdness, all of this stuff. They force it everywhere they go. Wallahi, astaghfirullah, I have... Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam. You from America? I said, yeah, but I don't know Arabic too good. You know English? He quoted a song. Michael Jackson songs and stuff. He said, not much English, beat it, something. Seriously. They put the American culture everywhere in this world. And then we think people don't know. We should know that people know. Because this is one complaint out of one side of their mouth. Yeah, they come in here and take over. How they take over, they don't know what's happening. You've been here all these years, you can't run nothing. How somebody come in running something? Because he know what's happening. But we act like people sleeping because they don't speak English as clear as we do. We think that people don't want, we don't understand that people can understand English perfectly, but they can't speak it perfectly. They just understand it, but they can't say it. And I know it because when we learned Arabic, we learned how to understand listening to something before we could say it ourselves. Just listen. Man. But when he asks you a question, you can't answer. Try to write it out for him. Because it takes a while. Speaking is like, I don't know, a sport or something. You have to do some practice to speak another language. But you can listen to it and understand. And understand good, just like a little baby. Before they learn how to talk, they understand everything. Sit down. Stand up. Come here. Get that. You hungry? Can't say anything. And just do it. But this is, he's putting the people against the people of knowledge. And you can imagine Branford Place how it's going to be when the imam gets on the khutbah, on the minbar, giving the khutbah. Everybody's looking at him like, man, I'm a Bali or something. Where he from? He don't understand what's going on. And besides, he don't know how to apply it to our situation. Really, this is all I don't know if you're going to call this benefit, but all I understood from that whole talk was to put the Muslims against the Muslims and to disrespect the people of knowledge. And that to show us Islam is Hawa. Even brothers were saying, I was getting sick to hear a whole hour talk, no hadith, no ayah. Just on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Wallahi, why we accept Islam if we don't want to hear Quran and Sunnah? We could have been a calf and go to the movies and listen to some entertainment or whatever, just a whole bunch of talk. You can go to the college and learn about this African studies programs and all of that stuff, this Afrocentric thing is everywhere. You don't have to hear the Muslims talk about it. Really, we have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us this truth and to make us see it as the truth and to bless us with following this truth and to let us see that falsehood as falsehood and to bless us from staying away from it. Because people come with stuff and make people feel good. And we have to teach Islam, you know. And it just reminds me, as I was listening, that one of the brothers in one of the prisons came to me and he said, Akhi, I see you just like kind of straight forward Quran, Sunnah and stuff. And we believe in Quran and Sunnah. He said, but you got to relate it. I told him, Akhi, everybody from the same streets. You from that block, I'm from the other block. I gotta remind you what block I'm from so you can understand that Allah says to establish the salah. You ain't established the salah. Wallahi, I don't even understand it. What do we have to remind ourselves of Jahiliyyah to make us understand Islam? And is there somebody that just can't understand Islam until we put him in Jahiliyyah and then he can get in the mood of Jahiliyyah? And then he can understand the ayah. You're not relating it to our circumstances, the brother told me.
What circumstances? I mean, you come to the prison, you visit the brothers, you try to give them some Quran and Sunnah, you're going to leave, they're staying there. I mean, I'm going to waste my time talking about what we used to do. People, man, I mean, that's going to come out anyway. Everybody reminisces, you know, say astaghfirullah, you know, it comes to your mind something, how you used to do it or whatever. You might be laughing, you might talk about it, we talk about it every now and then. So we say, alhamdulillah, Allah has guided us to Islam. But you can't imagine if it was just a setting to learn the deen, we're going to make that the focal point. To be emphasizing our jahiliyyah. Okay, let me leave you with an ayah. قَلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدُ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ. Yes. But people put this in the mentality of the people. People put this in the mentality of the people. There was quite a few people that came to me and said, you use too much Arabic. I don't use any Arabic unless I translate. And most of the time I don't use, if it's other than the Quran and the Sunnah, I don't use Arabic. Many of the people, they never heard me speak Arabic. And even people have come up to me and said, you really know Arabic? A lot of people, they don't even know. I don't find myself that I use so many Arabic words as to show the people, yeah, I know some Arabic. And you got to figure out what I'm saying. I say it, and then I translate it. And then everything else, I keep it in English. And most of the time, even the statements of the ulama, and for some of the brothers who have maybe been closer, they see my notes are in Arabic. And on the issue of Masjid Dirar, I just have it there, and then I'm just reading the English. I have it there so I can see what Umar bin Khattab says, radiallahu anhu, or someone. And then I'm just reading English from it. And even not even reading the translation so as to just put too much Arabic out there to confuse the people. But the Quran and the Sunnah is in Arabic, and everybody did it. It's like we're saying Imam al-Bukhari. Suppose he wrote his book in his language. Tell us we wouldn't be lost. Tell us, really, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he preserved this deen, he preserved it. Show someone from way out in Russia to write the most authentic book after the book of Allah, the Quran. From out in Russia. Suppose it was in Russian. Yeah, we write our books in English and we benefit. We write our books in English. Yeah, the people, inshallah, benefit. Okay, suppose somebody else gets strong in the world later and the language isn't English anymore, it's something else. And it wasn't English before. And just like English became strong, another language can become strong too. Might be Arabic later. What are the people going to do with all those English books? What are they going to do? Nothing. This is, you have to, this deen is Arabic. And it's going to be preserved like that to Yawm al-Qiyamah. I used to see some of the scholars like Sadiq Hasan Khan, from the India area, that he wrote books in Arabic and in his language. In Arabic and in his language. In Arabic, he's a scholar of Islam so that the Muslims could benefit everywhere. And then in his language, to do a little help for the people. But if you're really going to do something, it's in the language of Arabic. How can someone put in the people's minds that brother is speaking too much Arabic? And maybe they even tell the people on other settings, yeah, you know, be aware of them. They just say, call Allah, call Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All they say is Allah says, His Messenger says sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Or be aware of them, they quote too much Arabic. You ain't no Arab. Almost all of the Muslims are non-Arabs. They know Arabic. And I've given this example before. When I first got to Medina, my roommate from Somali, that when I learned how to communicate a little bit, and most of it was through my English translation of the Quran, if I could get an ayat that was like hitting with some words or something, you know, I can like point it out, and then I was able to listen and understand a little. So I listened and say, no, not that, try to get another ayat. And then later on, you know, you use your Riyad al-Salihin, try to get a hadith or something to get him on the topic. Anyway, we were talking about imams and giving the khutbah. And I asked him, in Somali, what language is the khutbah? He said, in our language. But no one gives the khutbah who doesn't know Arabic. No one gives the khutbah who doesn't know Arabic. Because he's a blind follower. And all of the ulama, they agree that a person who is a blind follower isn't considered knowledgeable. And if that's the case, how can he be on the minbar giving the people the lessons when he's not sure himself? So I said, no, gotta be a mistake somewhere. We'll be finished. In America, everybody has to get on the minbar who doesn't know Arabic. And it's like the people encourage this. In the other countries, if they don't have nobody who knows Arabic, they have their leaders or the imams or whatever, they know Arabic. Maybe the other people don't, but they have the people in the madrasas and stuff, all of them know Arabic fluently inside and out. Even if they don't converse in Arabic, they know it. Just like our main sheikh, Dr. Saab Rahim, who's Indian, and his companion, Ajmal, they said they weren't able to speak Arabic fluently when they came. There were scholars in Arabic, but they couldn't speak fluently. He said because it wasn't practiced. He said we learned Arabic through his language. I think his language is Urdu. He said he learned Arabic through his language, and the teachers and the students, they all speak their language like we do. But they still study Arabic. And he said they understand it. He understands that he's a scholar. He wrote the program in Medina, alhamdulillah. But it takes some practice for them to speak it. And just as you find people everywhere in the world, alhamdulillah, when you go overseas, and I was telling the brothers that we should sharpen up so when we make hajj, at least you can say, كيف حالك؟ لعلك بخير؟ من أين أنت؟ نحن من أمريكا؟ اسمي كذا؟ ما اسمك؟ You know, some basic, how you doing, where you from, what's your name, my name is this, I came this day, when did you come, so on and so forth. How is Islam in your country? At least the Muslims, we can know enough Arabic to kind of move around a little bit, as this is the language of the Muslims. And here it is, people discouraging the people from this language, discouraging people from the language of Islam. He don't understand your situation. He an Arab. What do you know? He don't even know English. How he gonna know what you went through? He don't even know English. Wallahi, who made this a prerequisite? What ayat makes this a prerequisite? That you know all of that much about the people. And who knows all of that about the people? Wallahi, we were raised in the society. Certain things we don't even know. Everybody don't know what's happening. It's a whole bunch of drugs, just like I was giving that example. He only knew the pipe. He didn't know nobody was shooting up and stuff. We thought that stuff was like for the, you know, the 60s and stuff. People still doing it today. Alright, maybe you just didn't know. And it's other stuff. Who is the person to say he knows everything? Yeah, I know the people. What do you mean? It's millions of people. How do you say you know the people? Is there someone to say, I know the mentality of the people in North? As if the people of North got one mentality, I know it, because I'm from North. Actually, you don't even know streets in North. Is there somebody, all of the brothers, they agree they know every street in North? Nah, maybe they don't know all the people on the street if they know the name of the street. Maybe they've never even been down there. But anyway, those people, they just give us this type of general talk to make us hate Islam, it seems like. Or to hate the Muslims, or to be divided from the Muslims, or what have you. And we just have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show us this truth, make it clear to us and bless us with following it, and to show us that falsehood, and to make it clear to us. And we have something that can make it clear to everyone. No matter what level he's on, he has what it takes, inshallah, to know what is the truth from what is falsehood. And that's أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Whoever says that, he has what it takes. That means it's from Allah, and Allah sent His Messenger to bring His deen. So whatever someone gives us something, that's all we want to know. Is that from Allah? Is that from His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This is what we know. And when someone brings us other than that, then it's clear for us to know. I'm not using this talk, inshallah ta'ala, to cast all of the blame on that brother, because you don't know what the people told him when he came in. And like he has said to me, that they told him something about Masjid al-Dirar, but you can imagine what story they told him about Masjid al-Dirar. But I hope that the brothers, they make dua for me, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives me the strength, if I travel, to ask enough questions so that I don't give a talk in Masjid al-Dirar like the sheikh, he's come all the way from Toronto to give a talk in Masjid al-Dirar, that Allah has prohibited the people from going in. You're saying you come to spread the knowledge and you don't go to the masjid, and you go to the Masjid al-Dirar to establish your salah and to advise the people instead of going to the masjid. And this is why, and I tell the brothers that if I travel, I don't accept any invitations if it's not from the imam or from the people in charge in that area. And the people, the first question from a lot of the brothers is, well, the imam, he's not on it, so that's why we want to invite you. I don't know who's on what, but I know one thing, we want to find out who in charge and talk to him so we can see what's going on. And then if he's wrong and he's telling us that or this or that, then alright, we can just stay away from the whole situation. But those other brothers, they might be leading you, and the brothers who are independent and not a part of the masjid, that they're everywhere in America and they're always trying to pull people and say the masjids are astray, come talk with us. How the masjid's astray? You don't got no masjid. Olai, the brother, he don't have no masjid, no nothing. He gonna invite me, and they got a masjid. How I'm gonna go to somebody's house and give a talk? Makes a lot in his house or wherever, university somewhere, and the masjid right there in the city. We never even went to the masjid. I mean, how could we feel to go to travel to a place where a masjid is and where the Muslims are, and we go and do some little side thing? So I hope the brothers, they make dua for me, that Allah save me from falling into that which some people fell into, because this is real grave. And even if it's a mistake, that, you know, if you make a mistake, you don't want it to be that big. Everybody wants this mistake to be a small one, so you can say astaghfirullah, and, you know, be happy that Allah showed you, and not to make a major one. Like, some people make, they want to accept Islam, and they join the 5% nation. And then 20 years later, he realized, man, I wasn't even a Muslim, or something. You know, you don't want to make a mistake like that. You want to make a mistake, you walked into the masjid with your left foot, and then the brother, he told you, akhi, you know, from Islam, you walk in with your right foot and you leave with your left foot. Oh, that's how it is. Jazakallahu khairan. And then he practices it. You know, you want something to be small and not to be major, that if you die on it, you die in kufr. This was just a little talk before breakfast. The brother is reminding me of the last statement that I wanted to make, that the people are probably like this, and it goes to even the level of disseminating knowledge, that some people, they know they're wrong, but they just do it anyway. You know, we know it's haram to look at the sisters and not our wives and stuff. You just get weak. You know? Alright, you do it anyway. They say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, I ain't gonna do it again. I just wanted to get that one look, you know? Astaghfirullah. Or whatever. You know? After this last cigarette or something, just, I don't know, you know, it's just something in me make you want to do it. You know you're wrong. You say, astaghfirullah, but this is going to be, you know, the last one. Then you get rid of it. this idea of you know you're wrong and you do it anyway, I think all of us have fell into it, astaghfirullah. At one time or another in our Islam, we fell into it, we knew we were wrong, and we did it anyway. Because you're just following your desires at that moment. You know you're wrong. But you just say, astaghfirullah, I know I'm wrong, I hope Allah makes me stronger, I don't want to be like this. Alright, that thing goes too with people of knowledge, or people in those positions that they're on. They know they're wrong. Wallahi, I talked to some of the brothers, or I listened to some of the brothers during this ordeal with the Masjid al-Dirar. They know it's the truth. They know it. That they are in Masjid al-Dirar and they're wrong. And even as I was saying, one of the brothers came and said he was wrong and then went back to it. He said, I know that thing is wrong, it's not right. Wallahi, Abu Muslim, I want you to come advise the brothers, show them, bring everybody back to the masjid, to Jama'ah and everything, and now he's not in the masjid. I sat and I listened to him. People know, but it's just be something in your desire that makes you just follow that wrong. And wallahi, last night, as you see with some of the questions, you tried to evade it in a manner. Sometimes you feel that someone, he just knows that he's wrong, but he's going to do it anyway. And if we see that, we don't have to question the people. Somebody's saying something, you don't have to question them to like prove to yourself or somebody that so-and-so is wrong. We just say, when they bring all of their foolishness, leave the sunnah alone and let it go forth. And don't stop it with your own opinion. And this is the attitude that the believers that we need to take towards this deen. All of us, we have our desires, but let's let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. When we have our desires, we don't have to say cigarette is smoking is permissible because I just got to get them last couple of puffs in. Then when I'm finished, maybe you was right. We don't have to defend a sin because our desires are in it. We have to just let the sunnah go forth whether we can practice all of it or not. We want it to go forth and the sunnah to spread and this deen to grow. And whatever we have in ourselves, let's keep it with ourselves and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And this last point, let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. We were advising people at the last talk that this is what we should just tell the people from now on. When they just bring their foolishness, let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. When they bring whatever foolishness that they bring, we're going to say let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. And this is going to be, inshallah ta'ala, our statement based on the statement of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, دعوا السنة تمضي ولا تعرضوا لها بالرأي. Leave the sunnah alone and let it go forth and don't stop it with your own opinion. Inshallah ta'ala, a part of our fundraising for the masjid, inshallah ta'ala, that we're trying to establish is going to be a line of sweaters and jackets with that on it, let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it, so that we don't even have to say anything to the people except let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. Because a lot of times it doesn't need any discussion. A lot of the stuff that the people bring, it doesn't need any discussion except to say let the sunnah go forth and don't stop it. As the brother was telling me about his khutbah, you know, he was just telling the people, and this was from the tafsir of Surah Al-Lahab, Surah Al-Masad, Tabbat yada abi lahab min watab, that this deen is the truth. If you accept it and follow it, you go to Jannah, and if you don't, you go to the hellfire. And the sunnah is the same thing. You on this sunnah and you'll be saved, or you're not and you'll be destroyed. And this is just to let this deen go forth. And if the people accept it, it's for them, their own benefit. And if they reject it, it's for their own loss. And we don't have to make any argument or any debate or whatever
that sit and waste our time with the people. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, I didn't make you a what? Kill over anybody. I didn't make you a guardian over the people. I just sent you to proclaim the message. You did that? That's it. You call the people to Islam. If they accept it, alhamdulillah. If they don't, to the fire. We give you glad tidings of the hellfire. And the same thing with the sunnah. You call the people to the sunnah. If they practice it, alhamdulillah. If they don't stop it. If they don't want the sunnah themselves, don't stop it. Like the brother was saying, A'udhu billah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide him to the sunnah. At least on his tongue, if he's not going to practice it. Yeah, I hear Abu Muslim is up there making the people wear thobes and the making the sisters wear niqabs and forcing all of that stuff on them. I said to myself, Allahu Akbar. If you hate the sunnah, at least don't discourage the people. Some people, they want to wear their pants, as the Prophet commanded us, above the ankle. We're going to make him a criminal. Akhi, I see they got you too. Ya akhi, a'udhu billah al-azim. If we're not going to practice the sunnah, and all of us, I mean, the sunnah is wide, and the Prophet ﷺ showed us this with his statement, إِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَاتُّوا مِنْهُمَا صَفَعْتُمْ. If I command you to do something, do it as much as you're able to. وَإِذَا نَهِيتُكُمْ عَنْ شَيْءٍ فَاجْتَنِبُوهُ. And if I prohibit you something, stay away from it. The Messenger of Allah عليه الصلاة والسلام and Allah تبارك وتعالى says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. And fear Allah as much as you're able to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows us, and He knows His deen, and the vastness of His deen, and He commanded us to practice it as much as we could. And everybody is going to be on the level that he's on, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put us on that level and to reward us with that level of al-firdaus. But if we don't make it to that level, we're not going to be against the people that Allah put on that level. This is the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have to encourage the people to practice it. Even if we can't go all the way, we still know that that's the best way. Otherwise, is there anyone that's going to laugh at the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam and his companions? As the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam got angry with the people because they said, you're the messenger of Allah. And they were saying this to say, you don't got to do nothing. You're the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You don't have to do anything. We have to do stuff. We don't know where we're going, the Jannah or the hellfire. You're the messenger of Allah, you're going to Jannah, you straight. The Prophet got mad at him. Got mad at the people. Wallahi inni la akhshaakum lillah wa atqaakum lah. Or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as there's different narrations on this from al-Bukhari and Muslim. Indeed, I fear Allah the most among you, and I'm most humble to Him. The Prophet ﷺ was saying this to say, I obey Allah more than anyone among y'all. That everything from the Quran and the Sunnah, I do it. Everything. And I'm not exempt from any of it. To show us He did all of it. So if we quote in some ayat, in some hadith, the Prophet was on it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet was on everything from this Quran and this Sunnah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are we making fun of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The brothers don't understand the kufr that comes off of their tongues. When they look at the brother and say, your pants are a little high there, akhi, I mean, sup, you know, you're American, huh? He doesn't know that that statement is kufr. Making mockery of this deen is kufr. أبالله وآياته ورسوله كنتم تستهزئون لا تعتذروا قد كفرتم بعد إيمانكم. Are you making fun, mockery of Allah and His ayat and His messenger? You don't have any excuse. You don't have any excuse. You have disbelieved you have kufr after your iman from Surah At-Tawbah. This is serious if we make mockery of this deen, because if someone's practicing Islam, something from Islam, like we heard the brother, another one of the brothers was saying, oh, the niqab is a fad. A fad? It's practiced by the wives of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the sahabiyat in general. It's a fad. What are you talking about? It's obedience. It's obedience is deen. And when you practice this deen, you get your reward for it. I don't hear nobody talking about fasting on Mondays as a fast. Why don't you do that every day, akhi? Any day you do it, you get your reward for it. This is something extra in the deen. If you do it, you get your reward for it. If you don't do it, you just pass out that extra reward. Okay, somebody's trying to take some of that reward. Even if the sisters wear it on the weekend and don't wear it during the week. Alright, they trying to get that reward on the weekend or not? During the week. Alright, they trying to get the reward. You going to talk about a fad? I don't understand, you know, but we need to know that this deen is the truth. Alhamdulillah.